Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
I will read first from the Word of God, after which I will deal with the matter at hand, which is Revelation of the Man of Sin. Papacies and Gentiles' Confessions. In their official statement of confession, the Gentiles answer these Bible questions. Jeremiah 16:10, what is our, the Gentiles and papacies' iniquity? What is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart? The Gentiles' official statement of confession to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, Isaiah 59:12-13, Isaiah 28:15, Jeremiah 16:19, Lamentations 3:42, James 3:9, Psalm 106:6, Hosea 10:3, 2 Corinthians 7:2, Genesis 42:21, Isaiah 10:13, Exodus 9:27, Jeremiah 50:24, and Hosea 7:13. As for our, the Gentiles and papacy's iniquities, we, the Gentiles and papacy, know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. We, the Gentiles and papacy, have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. We, the Gentiles and papacy, have transgressed and rebelled. We, the Gentiles and papacy, curse men, which are made after the similitude of God, our Lord, Tommy L. Hart. We, the Gentiles and papacy, have sinned with our fathers. We, the Gentiles and papacy, have committed iniquity. We, the Gentiles and papacy, have done wickedly. We, the Gentiles and papacy, did not fear the Lord. We, the Gentiles and papacy, have wronged the Lord our God, Tommy L. Hart. We, the Gentiles and papacy, are verily guilty. I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. I and my people, says the papacy, are wicked. In effect, the papacy and Gentiles have striven against the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. The papacy and Gentiles have spoken lies against me, the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart. And now, the reading of the papacy, these things are against me, the papacy. I begin first with this prayer found in Psalm 43:1. It says, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. You'll hear more on the deceitful and unjust man after this reading. Isaiah 63:15, 18, and 8. Lord, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness, the Gentiles, who are the people of thy holiness. His holiness has said, surely, they, the Gentiles, are my people. Psalm 48:1. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Jeremiah 23:9. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Job 20:6-7. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach to the clouds, yet he shall perish forever, like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? Job 37:5-4. God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, thundereth marvelously with the voice of his excellency. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency. Psalm 60:6. God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, has spoken in his holiness. He has spoken with regard to his holiness. Psalm 105:1 and Psalm 30:4. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 47:8. God, the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, sitteth on the throne of his holiness. Psalm 109:14. Let the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, remember the iniquity of his fathers. Those are the papacy. Psalm 37:12. the wicked plotteth against the just. Psalm 35:20. They, the church fathers, deceive, devise deceitful matters. Jeremiah 5:26. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. Jeremiah 5:27. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses, their church houses, that is, full of deceit. Isaiah 9:16 and Psalm 12:2. The Gentile leaders of black people cause them, the black people, to err. They, the leaders, speak vanity. James 3:9. We, the Gentiles and papacy, curse men which are made after the similitude of God, the Lord Tommy L. Hart. Psalm 10:7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. We're speaking about the wicked and unjust man. And even in these things, I'm speaking of the man of sin. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhors not evil. Isaiah 32:7. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. Psalm 36:3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. Psalm 109:17. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. Conclusion, James 1:26. This man's religion, the religion of his holiness, is vain, i.e., Catholicism, a.k.a. Christianity, is vain, insignificant, baseless, hence not valid. What have I done? I have found that the pontiff, his holiness, is described in the above prayer as being deceitful and unjust. I have found that his holiness is referred to as, let me not say that because I'll reveal that which I want to talk about momentarily. I have found that every Christian minister is a person of sin. I have found that the whole succession of popes is a line of deceitful, unjust, and wicked men. I have found that the Christian religion is founded on deceit and wickedness. The judgment. Part 1, Sum and Substance. Jeremiah 8:10, Matthew 23:28, Romans 3:10, Isaiah 9:17, 2 Timothy 3:2-4, 2 Timothy 3:8. From the prophet or Christian minister, Bible teacher, priest. To the priest, everyone deals falsely. Outwardly, they appear righteous to men, but inwardly they are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. There is none righteous, no, not one. Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer. Now keep in mind, we're talking about those who are characterized by sin. The leaders of the people, characterized by sin. Those who stand in pulpits, wherever. Who many think they are getting the truth from. But in reality, they are getting lies, deceit. Every one of them is a hypocrite and an evildoer. They are fierce lovers of their own selves. They are proud, unthankful, and unholy, meaning sinful, wicked, blasphemers, and false accusers. They are resistors of the truth of the crucial matter of the Authorized Version Bible. They are men having corrupt minds. The Judgment, Part 2. The charge against the papacy and the Christian church, 1 Corinthians 6:8, James 2:6, Galatians 5:4, Jeremiah 5:3, Jeremiah 5:12. Ye do wrong and defraud. Ye have despised the poor. Ye are fallen from grace. They have refused to receive correction. They have belied the Lord Tommy L. Hart. They are charged with giving false and misleading information, deceiving and defrauding, and genocide. The Judgment, Part 3. Jude 18:12-19, Proverbs 15:9, Psalm 1:6, Proverbs 21:15, Psalm 37:20, Psalm 37:10, Psalm 36:12. They are mockers, walking after their own ungodly lust, feeding themselves without fear. They are clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit is withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. These are those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall be consumed. The wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. The workers of iniquity are fallen. They shall not be able to rise. The Judgment, Part 4, spoken to the papacy and the Christian church leaders. Ezekiel 28:16-18-19. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt never be any more. The papacy and the Christian church are highly esteemed among men. They are abominable in the sight of God. So we have the reading, the readings of the Word of God. And now for the matter at hand, I turn to the revelation of the man of sin. First Samuel 28:14, I will turn to it. A statement says here, Samuel 28:14, an old man comes up. In my examination of Bible content, an old man has truly come up. I will deal the scriptures of the old man. The descriptors come from the Authorized Version Bible, also called AVB, the AVB. 1 Samuel 28:14, still, this descriptor says, he, the old man, is covered with a mantle. Keep in mind, the title of this episode is The Revelation of the Man of Sin. He's an old man. He's covered with a mantle. Luke 15:22. Luke 15:22 says, and this is about the old man, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The old man truly has been given a robe, a ring, and shoes. James 2, verse 2. Next descriptor of the old man. The old man comes into the assembly with a gold ring, dressed in goodly apparel. So he is an old man with a gold ring, dressed in goodly apparel. James 2, verse 3. The old man, it says, wears gay clothing. Isaiah 57:15. Turning my pages. The descriptor that says about the old man, he dwells in the high and holy place. These descriptors together will give us a good, undeniable, and unmistakable picture of the man of sin. So far we see that the man of sin is an old man.
He has come up. He is an old man. He's been given a robe, a ring, and shoes. He's covered with a mantle. He's dressed in goodly apparel. He wears the gay clothing. And here the old man dwells in the high and holy place. Get the picture. Get the details here. Draw from the details. Next descriptor. That's Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2, and this is verse 4. I'll read the verse. I'll read what the scripture says here in reference to the old man, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself, revealing, showing that he is God. Keep in mind a word picture. And the old man must fit each descriptor for the revelation to be correct and precise. Each of these descriptors must fit one individual. Okay, next. Now, while I'm here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, says this, that man of sin be revealed. That is what I am doing here now in this word picture, given the scriptures of the man of sin, so we can come forth, so we can get a true, positive ID of a man of sin. And that man of sin itself is a descriptor. This is a descriptor of the old man. Old man is a descriptor of the man of sin, of course, and the other, along with the other descriptors given. Now, so the man of sin is to be revealed according to the scripture, according to the book of the law, the Authorized Version Bible. So in my revealing the man of sin, I'm doing the right thing, and I am in line with scripture, in line with the law, because the Authorized Version Bible is a law book through and through. It gives me the power to do what I do. Gives me the power to reveal, to give information, pertinent information with regard to the man of sin. That man of sin be revealed. Now, 2 Thessalonians, let's see here, 2 Timothy verse 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Still talking about the man of sin. The old man is a preacher. The old man claims to be an apostle. The old man is a teacher of the Gentiles, the book says. A teacher, an apostle, a preacher, one dwelling in the high and holy place, one wearing the gay clothing, one wearing the gold ring, the one dressed in goodly apparel, the one in the gay clothing, the one who is called the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the son of perdition, utter destruction, ruin, damnation, that is perdition, the man who has come up in the examination done by the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Next descriptor, Genesis 17:5 and Romans 4:17. Let's look at Romans 4:17 first. In Romans 4:17, I see this: a father of many nations. Now, Genesis 17:5. Genesis 17:5. I see, again, a father of many nations, nations, people. I've heard say that the old man's organization, they boast of 1.2 or 3 billion people, many people. A father of many nations, a preacher, a teacher, and an apostle, one who wears a gold ring, the fisherman's ring, one who wears the gay clothing, one who wears goodly apparel, one who dwells in the high and holy place, one who is called the son of perdition. Okay? And any other one, any other that I may have missed. Now, moving on. Like the statement in Joel 1:9, the like the statement in Joel 1:9, the old man has ministers, the priests. Let me turn to it, Joel 1:9. Joel 1:9 says this: the priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. I said the old man is like that. The old man has priests. Psalm 103:21. The statement says there, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Like that statement, the old man has ministers, the priests, that do his pleasure. Genesis 49:10. In the statement there, it says, to him shall the gathering of the people be. The old man is like that which is stated in Genesis 49, verse 10. The people gather to see him and hear him. People gather to see and hear him. The old man has priests, ministers that do his will. The old man dwells in the high and holy place. The old man, and I left this one out, but the old man can be seen from time to time in the window of the temple. The old man wears a gold ring, goodly apparel. The old man has been given, it says in the scripture, the best robe, a ring, and shoes. The old man is called the son of perdition. The old man has saints. Or the old man speaks of saints. Let's see here. It's Psalm 30, verse 4. All right, Psalm 30, verse 4. I'll read the whole statement, full statement. Sing to the Lord, O ye saints of his. The old man speaks of saints. But that's not all the statement says. It says, sing to the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I need to make a statement on that. I've made a statement on it before. Same statement. When it says give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, why? Because when this takes place, when you thank the Lord, because that's what you're supposed to think. It says, sing to the Lord, O ye saints of his. Okay. When this takes place and you thank, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness is no more. His holiness has been eliminated. Remember the judgments? When I was reading the judgment regarding the wicked and unjust man, in my readings at the top of the episode, listen. I remind you of these things. Lord, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness. The Lord, a real person, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, scripture says to him, look down from heaven and behold from where? What place? From the place of his holiness. In order for the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, to do that, Tommy L. Hart must be where? In Rome, in Vatican City. Listen to the next one. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Now, we know who the Lord is because I've taught on that and taught on it. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Listen. The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, is great and greatly to be praised. Whereby? In the city of our, the Gentiles' God, and here's the modification, in the mountain of his holiness. His holiness, with respect to these statements, has been, at this time, the scripture speaks of, for these actions to take place, his holiness has been eliminated because of wickedness. All right? So that's why it says, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Because what?
God has caused evil to be put down and eliminated. Give thanks to the Lord God from your heart for doing that, for causing that to come about. The destruction of the wicked. The destruction of the unjust and wicked man and his institution, his organization. Moving on. So the old man has saints, ministers, the people gather to see him, along with the other descriptors. Moving on. And that's a commandment to the people to give thanks to the Lord God from your heart, because evil has been put away. Evil has been done away with. And I have a note here where it says, give thanks at the remembrance of His Holiness. When this statement is obeyed, His Holiness has been eliminated. Obviously, the title, His Holiness, betrays or reveals the identity of the old man who is found to be the man of sin. The man of sin is identified. Each descriptor I read fits. The man of sin, each descriptor fits His Holiness. The one called His Holiness. The Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. The Bishop of Rome. He who wears the fisherman's ring. Now, what am I doing? I am presenting scripture. I have presented a word picture of the man of sin. And scripture gives the name, His Holiness. Now, His Holiness is not the sole man of sin. He is at the top because what? His Holiness is a head, a leader, one at the top of the hill. The scripture says about all the ministers, all, not just those of Catholicism, but the Protestants, Anglicans, and whatever else there may be, those ministers involved in Christianity, the teaching of lies and deceit. The Bible calls them all wicked. The man of sin, the top man of sin, has been identified. Here's another descriptor, although we now know who the Bible's man of sin is, and get that. The Bible's man of sin. I have described him. So what? And the descriptors come from the A, the B. The scriptures give the picture and the undeniable and unmistakable identity of the man of sin. On the way to Timothy, let me stop at Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. And this takes in all of
wicked teachers and preachers, liars. And you heard me read earlier, hypocrites, they are all hypocrites, says the Bible. Here in Jeremiah 8, verse 10, it says, every one of them deals falsely, everyone. And so it says, every one of them is a hypocrite, a liar, a pretender. A pretender. When you look at them in their duties, carrying out their duties, they look like they are so sincere, so honest, so humble, so faultless. You know, the Bible says these are wicked people. They are hypocrites, every one of them. Pretending to be good while they do evil. What evil do they do? They teach lies. They give the people lies. That's evil. They deceive the people. That is evil. They rob the people. Have the people to do for them and give to them under false pretenses and under deception. What they said that I read coming from their confessions, under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Under falsehood. Even the term white people is a falsehood. They are Gentiles, and they know that. They are Gentiles, and they know that. Why do they go under the alias of white people? White people is not a classification. White people is an alias of the Gentiles. I know in my announcement, the announcer said, my announcer called it a classification, but white people is not a classification. White people is an alias. Who are known for using aliases? Crooks are known for using aliases. Crooks. Well, that's exactly who I'm speaking of. What did I say earlier and have shown you from the Bible on more than one occasion? These people are liars, deceivers, hypocrites, pretenders. Teachers of false information deliberately. They who have devised a theology and a teaching that is contrary to things in the Authorized Version Bible. Intentionally contrary to the things in the Authorized Version Bible. I've said before and I say it again. The Bible has nothing good to say about the Christian leaders and teachers and Bible teachers and all. It has nothing good to say. I read the judgment. The judgment says they shall be consumed. Not my judgment. That's the judgment in the book. They know it's in the book. The Gentiles do. They know what's in their book. That's how they can devise a theology and a Christian teaching that is contrary, as I said, to the truths of things the truth of things in the Authorized Version Bible in order to devise diametrical opposites to things in the Bible. That means they have to know them. It's impossible to devise diametrical opposites in your teachings with regard to things in the Bible and not know them. That's impossible. In order to do that, you must be knowledgeable of that which you are presenting the opposites of. So, the statement there in Jeremiah 8:10 says about the man of sin and his ministers and all other Christian ministers, those who use the Bible and deceive others, whether intentionally or non-intentionally, they all deal falsely. That's why they got an adverse judgment. They all means all, every one of them. Now, for the statement in Timothy, I'm turning. Didn't have it in my outline, so if I don't find it quickly, I'll just say it. Listen, here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Listen. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Not that they don't know what the truth is. They don't include the truth in their teaching. Their teachings are destitute of the truth, void of the truth, deliberately made so. Men of corrupt minds. That's not good. It's talking about the one who stands in the pulpit. The one who, some of them wear the white collar. The man of sin, who I focused on in my discourse. The man of sin, the top man, the top men. As I said, whether they be Catholic, Protestant, Anglican, it doesn't matter. Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter. They all deal falsely. Judaism, it doesn't matter. Judaism, the Jews, the Protestants, the Catholics, the Anglicans. The Gentiles have a whole lot of different groups, don't they? But they all, when it comes to the Bible and their teaching, their religious teaching, they all deal falsely. It says all are hypocrites. This is important information. I need not even say that. Everyone else should be everyone who hears me should be saying that. That this information that the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, is teaching is very important. Why? Because it enlightens us. It shows us the truth of things that are in the Authorized Version Bible, the book of the law. The truth of things, the truth of God, the truth concerning God, the truth concerning Christianity and its leaders, its preachers and teachers and all apostles, doesn't matter what they call themselves. This man shows us the truth of things in the Authorized Version Bible. This man shows that we have been deceived. Let me be clear. This man, not the man of sin, not the Pope, not the one who wears the fisherman's ring, but this man, Tommy L. Hart, shows us the truth of things in the Authorized Version Bible, and he has revealed the fact, he has made known the fact to us that we have been tricked, we have been hoodwinked, we have been swindled, we have been lied to, we have been deceived by the deceivers. And for the most part, they stand at the pulpit. Where does the Bible say, show us that, and we see it on TV, I know I do, and many see it in real life, but I've seen it only on TV. The man of sin dwells in the high and holy place. That's how the Bible describes it, okay? Now, in the statement in Thessalonians, it says, let me turn to it, not far from it. It says, let me read the statement. So that the man of God, the man of sin sits in the temple of God. Who is last seen in the temple of God? I read it twice in this during this discourse. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness the Gentiles, who are the people of thy holiness, his holiness has said, surely they are my people, habitation of thy holiness. It puts the Lord there, the true Lord, the real Lord, the Bible's Lord, the Lord who was prophesied to come. And the statement here, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Who is their God? His holiness. In the mountain of his holiness. God is the last one seen in the mountain of his holiness. As I said, when these statements come true, his holiness has been eliminated. His holiness has, the judgment has been executed upon his holiness and his organization. God is the one left standing in the mountain of his holiness. That's why it says here in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. That's why it's called the temple of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm reading scripture. I'm not reading my will. I am reading to you the scripture's will. The scripture's will. The Bible's will. The will of the AZB. I have given to you a good picture, I know I have. Remember, it says about them, men of corrupt minds. I mean, everyone deals falsely, everyone is a hypocrite. None doeth good, no, not one. Remember this. The Authorized Version Bible, again, has nothing good to say about those involved in Christianity. Nothing, whether they call it Christianity, Catholicism, Protestantism, Anglicism, or however you pronounce that word, you know, doesn't matter what you call it, you know, religion. And some of them in religion say, it's not religion. And it is religion, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, understand the teaching. The teaching is clear. the revelation of the man of sin is clear because the Bible called his name. It said his holiness. All right? The chief man of sin. Let me put it like this. One of the chiefs, one of the chief men of sin. Men characterized by sin, the man of sin, the man characterized by sin. I have pointed out to you their sin. I have pointed out to you the sin of the man of sin, his holiness. His holiness and the Gentiles cursed black people. I've told you that before. I read it today at the top of the program. They said, we curse men who are of the same race as the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. That's what it boils down to, okay? The way it's stated, they say, we curse men who are made after the similitude of God. Who is God? The Bible says Tommy L. Hart is God. God is a black man. I am black. So the statement says, in essence, we curse men who look like God, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And that's what they have done. The enslavement, that was a curse carried out. That was a curse carried out by the Gentiles and the papacy against black people. The Bible has not forgotten that, and the Bible has not forgotten the evil of the man of sin. I read the judgment. Join me again Thursday for another broadcast of Lawmaster. Thank you.